This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. Coming up this hour...
The Fed's expected to raise rates for the second time this year.
AT&T slumps after a judge approves its purchase of Time Warner.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May scrambles to reach a Brexit compromise. We are live in London with the latest.
The world is sorting through the details of yesterday's historic summit between President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un, plus yesterday's primaries. I'm Michael Barr. More coming up.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Sports. The Yankees with strong pitching through CC Sabathia. Two home runs from D.D. Gregorius. Shut out the Nationals at the stadium. The Mets lost in Atlanta.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Bob Moon. It is now 6 o'clock on Wall Street. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And it is now 6:01 on Wall Street. A time for a Bloomberg data check. We have futures in the U.S. pointing to a higher open on Wall Street. S&P futures right now up 4 points. That's up 0.2%. The Dow futures up 39 points. That's up 0.2. The Nasdaq E-mini futures 18 points higher, up 0.3% on this Fed decision day. The VIX right now is down almost 2% at 12.10. And as we check the 10-year Treasury in the U.S., 2.95%. That's down 0.1%. We have the euro at 117.60, up 0.1% against the U.S. dollar. And the Japanese yen 110.57. That is down 0.2%. And British pound sterling at 133. That is down 0.2%. We have right now COMEX gold down $1.10 an ounce at 12.98.30. Bob.
We begin with the first of three central bank policy decisions this week. The Federal Reserve is forecast to bump interest rates higher today amid signs inflation is accelerating. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Economists surveyed this month by Bloomberg anticipate the Fed will tighten for a total of 3 times this year, the first turn of the screw having been back in March. The second, today, another quarter point increase, part of the central bank's gradualist strategy. Inflation data so far this week indicate the Fed is taking the proper course. May's consumer price index rose at the fastest pace in more than 6 years on an annual basis, but not too fast. Bloomberg Economics says the Fed has been resolute in terms of not overreacting. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. Now, the ECB and BOJ make policy announcements tomorrow and Friday. We will, of course, have complete coverage of this afternoon's Fed decision on both Bloomberg Radio and television beginning at 2 p.m. Wall Street time.
And ahead of the Fed decision, we get another reading on inflation at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast the PPI rose 0.3% in May. And in Europe, the biggest increase in auto fuel prices in more than 7 years helped keep inflation from continuing its downward path. Consumer price growth stayed at 2.4% in May, as forecast by both the Bank of England and economists surveyed by Bloomberg.
A slump in euro area industrial production is adding to a series of underwhelming economic data. Before tomorrow's European Central Bank meeting, euro area industrial output dropped 0.9% in April, exceeding the 0.7% forecast in a Bloomberg survey.
In the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May has dodged a defeat in Parliament with the promise of a Brexit compromise. And let's go to London to get the very latest from Sebastian Salek. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Bob and John. Theresa May giving pro-EU rebels her personal assurance that their concerns will be taken into account. Their main demand is a guarantee that the government can't walk away from a Brexit deal without consulting Parliament first. But now she needs to make good on that promise and keep them on her side. The difficulty is how exactly she'll do that without enraging the other wing of her party. One thing for sure, though, this reduces the chances of Britain tumbling out of the EU without a deal, although it could mean closer ties as well with the European Union. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. The European Central Bank has been taking a closer look at three of the Eurozone's biggest trading books. Sources tell Bloomberg the ECB has asked BNP Paribas, Deutsche Bank, and Societe Generale to provide information on how they value bonds, stocks, and derivatives on their trading books. That was several months ago. Sources tell us the review is now close to a conclusion.
Now that AT&T prevailed in its takeover of Time Warner, the telecom company is facing an even bigger challenge, reviving a declining television business. The story from Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti.
It took about 20 months to get the $85 billion deal approved. In that time, Netflix became the highest-valued U.S. media company by winning over customers from major cable and satellite companies. But AT&T has a secret weapon. In addition to the entertainment assets it's gaining from Time Warner, like HBO, CNN, and movie studio Warner Brothers, it's betting that more and more customers are going to be watching their TV on mobile devices. By owning both media assets and the means of distribution, AT&T is hoping to replicate the capabilities of Comcast, which acquired NBC Universal in 2011. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
AT&T shares down about 2% in early trading. Time Warner surged 4.5% after the decision was announced.
Shares of H&R Block are down almost 19% in early trading. The tax preparation company forecasts 2019 revenue below analyst estimates. The firm also said it didn't see the new client growth it had wanted.
And U.S. sanctions and economic upheaval may take a major toll on the oil market. The story from Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora.
In its first detailed forecast for 2019, the International Energy Agency says OPEC members Iran and Venezuela could lose almost 30% of their oil output next year. The IEA says new oil output from outside OPEC, in particular U.S. shale, should be enough to cover growth in demand, but nations such as Saudi Arabia may still need to boost output to compensate for lost supply from other members. OPEC meets next week and will debate whether to restore production it halted last year. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Patrice. Double on Capital's Jeffrey Gundlach is warning that the stage may be set for fiscal trouble. Gundlach says the U.S. is increasing the size of its deficit. At the same time, it's raising interest rates. He calls that a suicide mission. S&P futures up 3 points. That is a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices up 1/32nd. The yield at 2.9571%. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Bob. Now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. President Trump says there is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea. Trump sent the tweet after landing this morning in Maryland from his historic summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Singapore. Meanwhile, Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull praised President Trump, but says his country welcomes the summit outcome cautiously.
Where will it lead? Will it result in the complete denuclearization of the peninsula? Only time will tell.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is traveling to South Korea to discuss yesterday's summit. In South Carolina's Republican primary, Representative Mark Sanford was defeated by State Representative Katie Arrington. Arrington, who was supported by President Trump, will face Democrat Joe Cunningham in the fall. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's hopeful that President Trump can work out his issues with other G7 countries and strike a deal on trade.
I'm among those who hope that we don't end up in a full-scale trade war, which I think would certainly not be good for our country.
The president walked away from the meeting in Quebec last week without signing a joint statement agreed to by the other leaders and allies. Spain's rescue of migrants stranded on the Mediterranean continues. Bloomberg's Charles Penty is in Madrid.
A new future looms for the migrants of the Aquarius on their way to a new life in Spain. They have now been split up into three vessels as they make their way to the eastern Spanish port of Valencia. It also represents a new departure for Spain's Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez. The decision to take the migrants allows him to make a grand humanitarian gesture at the start of his new administration. In Madrid, Charles Penty, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, Italy's Coast Guard says its ship has brought more than 930 migrants to shore in Sicily. Turkey's election this month could go down to the wire, with President Recep Tayyip Erdogan facing a tougher battle to cement power or even an upset. That's according to a poll commissioned by Bloomberg. The survey by Foresight Nanis Manlik found that Erdogan can win the presidential vote in the first round on June 24th, with 50.8% support and get the backing of a majority of parliament. But a surprise victory for the opposition is also within the margin of error. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
John, CC and DD carry the Yankees. CC Sabathia, another strong outing. He's only lost once this season. He and the bullpen team had a five-hit shutout. Yankees over the Nationals, 3-0 at the stadium. Two-thirds of the offense provided by the Yankee shortstop.
Here is the payoff. Swung on, drilled to right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Second deck. Second deck. Second homer of the game. Yes, indeed. Oh, this is the dawning of the age of Gregorius.
That's John Sterling, WFAN. Sonny Gray starts tonight. We'll see if Bryce Harper can play for the Nationals. Hit by pitches twice last night, once in the arm and once on the toe. He had to leave the game early. Mets grabbed the lead in Atlanta's sixth inning. Finally, a big hit from Jay Bruce. His double knocked in two runs for a 2-1 lead. Sure enough, the Braves with two homers on the bottom, including an Ozzie Albies grand slam. Atlanta won 8-2. They'll play at noon today. Parades on both coasts. First championship of any kind in Washington, D.C., 27 years. They came out to honor the Capitals. Stanley Cup champs for the first time. Third title in the last 4 years for the NBA champion Warriors. About a million people in Oakland, where Finals MVP Kevin Durant was asked about coming back next year.
We want you back at any contract you would like for any amount in any years.
Why was that even a discussion? Why were you even talking about that? For sure, we want to do this thing again. All the love and support.
Also from the NBA, Toronto promoted assistant Nick Nurse to replace Dwayne Casey, who got fired. Casey's already landed as the new coach in Detroit. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
Hi, thanks, John. Soccer's World Cup begins tomorrow with host Russia taking on Saudi Arabia. Against that backdrop, the world's biggest sport remains uncontested in its popularity. Nielsen Sports Annual World Football Report surveyed 18 major markets across the Americas, Europe, Middle East, and Asia. Soccer gained powerful interest in more than 40% of the population. The Sports Report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank with strong relationships and customized solutions. They work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Yeah, it's now 6:17 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. And Bloomberg Business Flash being brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology, where finance students leverage tech-driven tools in the Hanlon Financial System Center to address complex decision-making. Explore how at stevens.edu/financial center. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's check the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, John. AT&T has received the all-clear to buy Time Warner. A judge approved the $85 billion deal with no conditions. The Fed's two-day meeting comes to an end today. While a rate hike is likely, investors will look for the timing and pace of future moves. The IEA is making a case for OPEC and its allies to boost output. The agency says Iran and Venezuela could lose almost 30% of their production next year due to US sanctions and economic upheaval. And in Hong Kong, shares of ZTE dived more than 40% today. Trading resumed after the company agreed to pay at least $1 billion in penalties as part of a settlement with the US. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. John?
All right, thanks, Hannah. Again, S&P futures up 4, the Dow futures right now, 38 points higher. And ahead of the Fed decision today, NASDAQ E-mini futures point to a higher open. Right now, up 19 points. That's up 0.3%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, with more on what's going on around the world, here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. President Trump landed in Maryland this morning after his historic summit in Singapore with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. After Air Force One touched down, Trump tweeted, "Just landed, a long trip, but everybody can now feel much safer than the day I took office. There is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea." Another incumbent Republican congressman has lost his seat in a primary. South Carolina Congressman Mark Sanford lost to State Representative Katie Arrington. In sports and baseball, the Yankees beat the Nationals 3-0. The Mets lost. The Red Sox beat the Orioles. The A's and Giants lost. Global News 24 hours a day. On air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Wells Fargo Technology Banking. Wells Fargo helps business leaders find their moments of truth. A little outside perspective can create a lot of clarity. 6:20 on Wall Street. Fed decision day today. And with a preview, Bloomberg U.S. economist Carl Riccadonna. Quarter point baked into the cake for the Fed funds futures, So what are you looking for?
Well, again, the rate increase is going to be pretty straightforward here. So it's going to be the other moving parts of the statement that really impact market sentiment and could create some ripples in the financial markets. Those moving parts will largely be, number one, I wouldn't expect the Fed to declare mission accomplished yet in terms of hitting their inflation target. Last month, they signaled they were getting closer, and they could signal that they're still getting closer. But underlying economic fundamentals are not quite where they need to be for sustainable 2% inflation. And the reason for that is average hourly earnings or wage pressures are moving in the right direction, but they're still not yet running at a pace consistent with 2% inflation.
I saw the NFIB report yesterday and talked to their chief economist, and he said, you know, things are bang up in terms of confidence for the small businesses, but they can't find qualified workers. So why not just give them more money?
Well, that's the key. You can't find qualified workers at the current pay rate, but if you're willing to offer more, then suddenly the labor supply
is available. What's the problem?
The problem is we're just not quite there yet. So we're starting, as I mentioned, right? Average hourly earnings are edging higher. It's upward sloping. So businesses are grudgingly coming to the conclusion that if they need the workers, they're going to have to pay more. They're just so conditioned to the experience of the last 10 years where they didn't need to pay up for labor that it's a very slow process for them to come around to that line of thinking.
What's the lag time?
Well, the lag time is much longer in this cycle compared to prior economic cycles. That's for sure. However, 2018 seems to be the year where finally we're seeing the economy push through the sweet spot on the unemployment rate that's actually generating wage pressures.
Okay. How close to the 2% target are we?
We're getting very close. So the Fed's preferred metric, the core PCE deflator, is running at 1.8%. We saw in the core CPI yesterday a little bit of further acceleration. We're at 2.2% on the core CPI. So that's almost where we would need to be to get the Fed's preferred metric up to 2%.
Where's the economy at? What's the trajectory right now?
Well, we're on an uncertain trajectory because we had a little bit of a growth lull in the first quarter, and the second quarter looks to be off to a very strong start. My team's predicting a GDP growth of 3.4%. If we look at the Atlanta Fed's GDP tracker, it's running at about 4.5%. So we're definitely seeing an acceleration in the current quarter. The question is how much? And until we know whether that's just a flash in the pan 2Q phenomenon or a sustained pickup due to tax reforms and whatnot, the Fed is going to be averse to changing the course significantly. So the other moving part we'll be watching today is, of course, the dot plot. And I suspect that we're still going to be splitting the difference between 3 and 4 rate hikes this year.
Jerome Powell really in charge, right? He doesn't have any dissenters.
Yes, so this is meeting number 3 for him. He's had no dissent to this point. And given that it's a slightly hawkish-leaning committee this year, I expect we won't see any dissent at this meeting either, probably not in September. So the real question will be once we get to the December meeting where that potential fourth rate hike would be coming. Again, I think it won't happen at the December meeting. That would be where you would potentially have some dissent.
And piercing through obfuscation is always a good thing. He's going to have a news conference all the time.
Well, he'll have a news conference at today's post-meeting press conference, and the Fed is very actively considering moving towards press conferences after every meeting because they don't like the perception that there's a two-tiered meeting status where the Fed only moves at those press conference meetings.
Okay, remind us, so 25 basis point increase today.
And 25 basis point then, move today, and also watch for a little technical adjustment, interest on excess reserves. They signal in the minutes of the last meeting that they need to increase that by a little less than 25 bips just to help keep the Fed funds rate in the middle of their target.
A technical adjustment there. Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg S&P Futures right now, up 5. Live coverage, Fed meeting, 2 o'clock. And Bloomberg is being brought to you by Eisner Amper Center for Family Business Excellence. If you're a family-owned business and need support in navigating tough family business decisions, Eisner Amper can help. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/family.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm John Tucker. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures, European equities are higher ahead of today's policy decision from the Federal Reserve. While the central bank is expected to raise rates, investors will focus on whether its dot plot signals one or two additional hikes this year. And, of course, we'll bring you live coverage of the decision at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and television.
And ahead of that Fed decision, the government issues the producer price index. Economists forecast the PPI rose 0.3% in May. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has more.
In April, the PPI rose 0.1%, the smallest increase in 4 months. Bloomberg Economics says we'll see tariffs filtering in, with the full impact taking hold later this summer. Data Tuesday pointed to a higher cost of living. The consumer price index rose in May at the fastest pace in more than 6 years on an annual basis, an increase of 2.8%. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. In the UK, a big increase in auto fuel prices helped keep inflation from continuing its downward path last month. The consumer price growth in the UK stayed at 2.4% in May. The pound is trading lower. Right now, British pound sterling 133, down 0.3% against the dollar.
The European Central Bank has been taking a closer look at three of the Eurozone's biggest trading books. Sources tell Bloomberg the ECB has asked BNP Paribas, Deutsche Bank, and Societe Generale to provide information on how they value bonds, stocks, and derivatives.
On the corporate front, AT&T has prevailed in its fight with the Justice Department, clearing the way for its acquisition of Time Warner. Shares of AT&T down about 2% in early trading. Time Warner is up about 5%.
And investors are betting more big deals may follow. Shares of 21st Century Fox are up 7% as Disney and Comcast are locked in a battle to acquire Fox. It is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for your volatility index report, and the VIX fell for the first time in four sessions, closing at 12:34 yesterday. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently down 0.25%. To 12:11. And that is your Bloomberg Volatility Report.
And this on a morning when the S&P futures are up 4 points. That's up 0.2%. The Dow futures are up 29 points, up 0.1%. Now the Nasdaq E-mini futures right now, 18 points higher. That is up 0.3% on this Fed decision day. Live coverage on Bloomberg Radio and Television begins at 2 o'clock Wall Street time. 10-year yield in the U.S., 2.95%. The price is up by 2/32. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update being brought to you by Willoughby's. Since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is heading to South Korea as Asian allies are trying to sort through the implications of the summit in Singapore between President Donald Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Pompeo will meet with President Moon Jae-in tomorrow to discuss the historic meeting. Meanwhile, Trump, who just returned from Singapore this morning, spoke to Fox's Hannity about Pyongyang.
I just think that we are now going to start the process of denuclearization of North Korea, and I believe that he's going back and will start it virtually immediately.
Trump and Kim reached a broad agreement that offered few specifics but included promises of U.S. security guarantees. Representative Mark Sanford has lost his first race in South Carolina. Sanford was defeated by State Representative Katie Arrington in yesterday's Republican primary. Arrington was supported by President Trump.
It's time to reach out to our friends and our neighbors. And it's time to unite and get to work and win in November.
Arrington will face Democrat Joe Cunningham.
One day, my son's going to be standing eye to eye with me, and he's going to be asking what I did at this pivotal moment in our country's history.
Cunningham hopes to become the first Democrat elected to the first district since 1978. In Virginia, every Democratic primary where a woman was on the ballot, a woman won the nomination. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says Canada will stay in the NAFTA negotiations with the U.S., but has a warning. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Trudeau says he will stand firm on not allowing a five-year sunset clause and that a trade war will hurt the U.S. as well as Canada.
They move forward with punitive tariffs on trade in aluminum and steel. Not only are they putting a threat on Canadian workers and Canadian industry, but they're actually going to hurt American workers as well.
Trudeau says he's moving ahead with plans for his retaliatory tariffs. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report being brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
John, as someone once said, riding high in April, shot down in May, that's life. Through April, D.D. Gregorius was batting .327, 10 home runs, 30 runs driven in. He was the AL Player of the Month. Then came May. A .151 average, one homer, five ribbies. June figured to be somewhere in between, and last night was a lot like April. Pair of solo home runs for Gregorius and the Yankees. 3-0 win over Washington. C.C. Sabathia and three relievers teamed on the five-hit shutout. Sabathia needs 107 more strikeouts to be the 17th member of the 3,000 career strikeout club. And last night, he became the fifth to strike out 1,500 batters as a Yank, joining Andy Pettitte, Whitey Ford, Ron Guidry, and Red Ruffing. Same two teams tonight, Sonny Gray for the Bombers, who on Friday will start 23-year-old Jonathan Loaisiga. Began the season pitching in Class A ball. The Mets started a 10-game road trip with an 8-2 loss in Atlanta. Took the lead, top of the sixth inning, promptly gave up six runs in the bottom of the sixth. Zach Wheeler took the loss. He's 2-5. Day game today, Jacob DeGrom on the mound for the Mets. Tomorrow, Shinnecock Hills on Long Island. It's the opening round of the U.S. Open Golf. Injuries have caused Tiger Woods to miss three of the last four.
Yeah, I've missed playing the U.S. Open. Our nation's title, it's meant so much to me and my career, and obviously USGA, what it has done for golf. This was the biggest event you could win. Growing up as win a USGA event. I've won it nine times. It's pretty special. So looking forward to playing this week. I've really missed playing U.S. Opens, and this will be another fun test.
He's won the U.S. Open three times. The other six titles that he mentioned came as an amateur. Tiger tees off tomorrow at 1:47. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Opinion being brought to you by Benzel Busch Motor Car Corporation in beautiful Englewood, New Jersey. A true luxury experience. Benzel Busch is where luxury lives. Experience the elevated standard you deserve. Visit BenzelBusch.com.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Illusions have long thrived on the Internet, from doctored photos to fake news, but a newly sophisticated variety is worth paying attention to. Sometimes called deep fakes, they're videos made with the help of artificial intelligence that appear genuine but depict events or speech that never happened. Fake news has already roiled political races. Because people tend to lend more credence to videos, that problem could get worse. An overriding challenge, then, will be to identify and call out these forgeries. Technologists will need to build on fledgling efforts to automatically detect them. Congress should fund basic research on the topic. In the short term, society will need to adapt to an unsettling new reality, one where the line between real and fake is blurred and the illusions get more perfect by the day. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. In Washington, the Interior Department is trying to speed up permits for wind energy with hopes to see a surge in federal revenue from offshore wind production. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom with details.
Building offshore wind farms is expensive, so one option might be to adopt a less expensive alternative.
Instead of building these massive structures with 1,000 tons of cement and steel on the seabed, maybe have it float.
Bloomberg Environment's Alan Kofsky says some see permitting changes as one way to boost adoption of wind energy.
Have different agencies working at the same time instead of one waiting for the other to finish its work. Also, setting deadlines and trying hard to meet those deadlines with one agency riding herd over the other agencies as the lead.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
And time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Optimism among small business owners has been at record high levels the past 15 months. The National Federation of Independent Business Optimism Index registered 107.8 in May, the second highest reading in the survey's 45-year history. But if there is a pothole, it's the lack of qualified workers. Bill Dunkelberg is the NFIB's chief economist.
Well, it's a big one. Obviously, you know, we can keep producing at the level we're at, but if you want to grow even more, you're going to have to find more workers. And, of course, we're trying to get them. We're having a record number of our owners report that they're raising worker compensation.
48% of small business owners reported few or no qualified applicants for the positions they were trying to fill. And that's today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Coming up, Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Columbia Bank with 48 locations across New Jersey. You're never far from Columbia's wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking to mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it's now 6:47 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. This is on a morning when futures point to a higher open on Wall Street. Let's go over to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, John. Like you said, modest gains in the U.S. futures right now, with Dow futures up 30 points. S&P's gained 4, while the NASDAQ futures climbed by 19. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.95%, and Hong Kong fell 1.2% overnight as ZTE plunged 42%. As trading resumed, European markets are also trading higher, led by 1% gains in Italy. And back in the U.S., on the economic front at 8:30, the producer price index, and at 2 o'clock, the FOMC rate decision. After the bell last night, H&R Block issued its 2019 outlook. Shares are down 19% in the pre-market, and the judge ruled AT&T can purchase Time Warner with no conditions. In other news, Netflix price target raised to a street high $4.90 at Goldman Sachs. And wrapping things up, Comcast was downgraded to market perform at Raymond James, and Applied Materials and Lam Research both downgraded at RBC. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. John?
And thanks a lot to Bill. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal. Again, S&P futures up 4, the Dow futures up 33, and the NASDAQ E-mini futures 20 points higher. And that's Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. Russia is welcoming the outcome of the summit between President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov says one can only welcome the fact that such a meeting took place and that direct dialogue was begun. Republican South Carolina Congressman Mark Sanford, who has been a critic of President Trump, is conceding his primary battle. Hours before polls closed, President Trump tweeted his endorsement of Sanford's opponent, State Representative Katie Arrington, who won. Arrington will now face Democrat Joe Cunningham in the fall. In sports and baseball, the Yankees beat the Nationals, the Mets lost, the Red Sox beat the Orioles, the A's and Giants lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, the owner of a half dozen legal brothels in Nevada has ousted a three-term lawmaker to win a Republican primary for the state legislature. AP reports Dennis Hoff, author of The Art of the Pimp, thanked Trump, saying he was the Christopher Columbus for me. By the way, John, if Hoff wins, he won't be the only brothel owner in elected office. The operator of the Mustang Ranch is a county commissioner.
Why do they call it Mustang Ranch? No, don't answer that.
Thank you.
You're trying to stump me.
Yeah, okay. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
These are different times. Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump back at the White House after that summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Singapore. On Capitol Hill, the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations meets with Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland. And the House Financial Services Subcommittee holds a hearing on ensuring effectiveness, fairness, and transparency in securities law enforcement. With President Trump back at the White House, meantime, there is an air of skepticism in Washington about exactly what he accomplished at his meeting with Kim in Singapore. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us now for more. Kathleen, good morning. So what are you hearing?
Well, to hear Trump tell it, he accomplished a lot. He just fired off a couple of tweets when he landed at Andrews Air Force Base a little while ago, basically saying that North Korea no longer poses a threat to the U.S. and that Americans should sleep more soundly and feel like they're safer tonight. And so I think that what that is indicative of is sort of the message that we're going to be seeing from Trump going forward. He's definitely been patting himself on the back a lot already, and his sort of claims are getting even bigger and bigger as he comes back. So I think it's important to measure those against the reality, which is that they have a very limited agreement, and that limited agreement only basically commits them both to trying to work towards denuclearization. It doesn't actually, in an airtight way, promise any sort of concrete denuclearization. So to me, it seems a bit of a jump to say that North Korea no longer poses a threat.
Yeah, at his news conference yesterday, I heard him say that this was going to start very fast, but that denuclearization takes a long time. So do we have any kind of timetable?
So I think that, you know, we know that Mike Pompeo is going to start meeting very soon now, the coming days, with North Korean officials. He stayed behind in Asia. But in terms of a concrete timetable for doing this, I have not seen one. I don't think that anyone really has a sense of that. I think that this is really a starting off point. It's not an end point. There have been a lot of times in the past when Kim has, you know, come to the negotiating table only to then back away when he was pressed to actually denuclearize. So I think that it's actually, despite the president's kind of assertions here, it's still pretty early in this process.
And we also appear to be getting conflicting reports on what the two leaders actually agreed upon.
That's right. So Kim Jong-un is apparently saying that Trump agreed to lift sanctions on his regime. What Trump said yesterday was that the sanctions were going to stay in place unless or until the North Korea was fully denuclearized. It would obviously make sense from the U.S.'s perspective to keep those sanctions in place because they, you know, want to have some leverage over Pyongyang. But I think that this just goes to, in some ways, the risks associated with Trump, who we know can sometimes speak in a very imprecise manner. I think that this shows that perhaps on this occasion, I mean, we don't know what was said behind closed doors specifically, but perhaps on this occasion, Trump thinks he said one thing, or he has the impression he said one thing where Kim heard another. So, you know, we'll have to kind of wait and see how that shakes out, but certainly that's not been the administration's contention.
And I thought I heard him say yesterday at that news conference that there was nobody recording the conversation.
Yeah, so I think that you know, also obviously would pose an issue if it comes down to trying to resolve, you know, what actually was said.
Okay, let's turn to domestic issues now with primary results from several states yesterday, including a very interesting result out of South Carolina. What can you tell us about that race and what it might mean for November?
So this is a race where we're seeing basically a test of Trump's appeal in South Carolina, which is obviously a very conservative state. And so here you had an incumbent, Mark Sanford, who's been a pretty harsh Trump critic, and a challenger, Katie Arrington, who's a state legislator, who basically vowed to more closely align herself with Trump than Sanford has done if she were to be elected. And Trump weighed in at the last minute with criticism of Sanford, so essentially on Arrington's behalf, and she pulled off a win, which initially had looked pretty unlikely. So to me, what that says is that Trump's popularity, while faltering nationwide, is still strong and able to propel candidates who associate themselves with him in Republican-leaning and very red districts and areas.
And I've left you about 30 seconds to sum up where the Russia probe sits.
So now that Trump's back, back from Singapore, the Russia probe is front and center. And so the big question there is whether or not his lawyers and Robert Mueller's lawyers are going to be able to reach an agreement about the parameters of Trump sitting down voluntarily for an interview. If they don't reach an agreement, I think the issue, could be very, very contentious.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can, of course, read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And just breaking on the Bloomberg, the U.S., Canada, Mexico win a bid to host the 2026 Soccer World Cup. It is now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Welcome to Hollywood, AT&T. The wireless carrier is celebrating its triumph over the U.S. Justice Department, winning a case that allows it to proceed with its long-fought takeover of Time Warner. Now, popular networks like HBO and CNN, as well as the Warner Brothers Film Studio, will become part of Dallas-based AT&T as it morphs into a powerful media conglomerate. The judge's decision was largely expected, but the implications of it are suddenly palpable. Comcast and other acquirers, once seen as extremely limited in their mega-merger opportunities, will now look to exploit the ruling. It seems we really have entered an anything-goes merger environment. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. It is now 6:56 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. It was back in 1988, 30 years ago, that NASA's top climate scientist at the time, James Hansen, had a warning for the world on a record hot June day. Global warming was here, he declared, and worsening. In a scientific study that came out a couple months later, he even forecast how warm it would get, depending on emissions of heat-trapping gases. The hotter world that Hansen envisioned in 1988 has pretty much come true so far, more or less. 3 decades later, most climate scientists interviewed rave about the accuracy of Hansen's predictions, given the technology of the time. Hansen prefers not to say, "I told you so." He'd prefer that he was wrong. What he really wishes had happened, he says, is that the warning be heeded and actions be taken. Instead, the world is warming at an unprecedented pace, and ice sheets in Antarctica and Greenland are melting. Hansen, who is now 77, left NASA in 2013. He regrets, in his words, not being able to make this story clear enough for the public. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow is coming up on Bloomberg Radio. And for our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For John Tucker, I'm Bob Moon. This is Bloomberg.